Do you ever find it frustrating trying to capture pinch-out photos of your pets or even birds in your garden? If so, we have the course for you. iPhotography has an incredible wildlife photography course presented by renowned professional wildlife photographer Rachel Sinclair. This course covers everything, and I mean everything, from what kit to buy, how to edit your photos, how to even plan your own safari. Everything from bird to beast we have covered in this wonderful wildlife course. If you'd like to learn more, go to iphotography.com/podcast for your super cool listener discount.
So thank you very much for joining me on the next episode of the iPhotography podcast. This is Stephen here, and today we're going to be talking to Nikki Cameron. Nikki is an iPhotography member, but she's also a photographer in her own right. She's been a photographer for a number of years, and now she's starting to bring that photography into a business. She absolutely adores photographing animals, specifically dogs. And that's one thing we're going to talk about today, is about her starting up her brand new business as a dog photographer. If you want to check out some of her website pictures, then we've got all the links for the descriptions in there. And obviously you can find out a bit about iPhotography and some of our courses in there as well. So we're going to go jump straight into the interview. I've already got it prepped and live ready with Nikki, and we're going to have got a number of questions, and hopefully you'll find it a little bit insightful as to what it takes to set up a business, the things that are kind of could be quite challenging and the things that are really exciting about starting up a new business with your photography. So let's get on with the show, and I hope you enjoy it. So welcome along, Nikki, to our iPhotography podcast. As you probably know, I'm sure you've hopefully listened to a few episodes previously. But we wanted to bring you onto the podcast just to talk about your photography, because you're at a stage where you've just kind of started up a new business. And I know there'll be people hopefully listening along that, you know, are quite happy with keeping their photography as a hobby, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that are also interested that, you know, want to maybe make a little bit of money or potentially just take the photography to a wider audience, really. But, you know, for your own photography, etc., kind of what inspired you in the first place to kind of set up, you know, a side business?
Well, I think during lockdown, my other job sort of tanked a little bit, and I found myself with lots of time. And so I just thought, all my jobs that I've done, I've tried to link with something that I really like doing. And you know, photography just seemed like a natural thing. So it started off with me just looking into all sorts of ways, you know, how I might do it, and setting up a website and things like that. It's because I had the time to do it.
Yeah.
So it hadn't been for lockdown, and it hadn't been for, you know, my other business sort of disappearing a bit, then I probably wouldn't have had the time. So it was a brilliant opportunity to do it.
You're right. It's a lot of people have mentioned about how lockdown and such has given them more time to potentially do things. And it's one of those times that you've got all that time on your hands that you think, brilliant, I can do X, Y, and Z. But sometimes it just doesn't happen. You know, life gets in the way and other things happen, really. Were you quite focused? Did you like write down things that you needed to do and, you know, have yourself like a little kind of check sheet and, you know, goals that you ticked off?
No, I do like lists, but I didn't on this occasion. I did an Instagram course because I thought that might be a good way of feeding traffic into a website, which I hadn't done at the time. And it was brilliant. And it wasn't just an Instagram course. It was quite a lot about marketing. So that set me on a good path. So I went down that first, and that was 6 weeks. That was quite intense, actually. And then I started to look into the website, and then fortuitously the Pixfa thing came up on the iPhotography for iPhotography Plus members, and it just happened to hit at right the right moment. And it was great because it's a platform for photographers and artists and things like that, so it's all geared towards people like me setting up.
Yeah.
And also for simple people like me, because I'm no good at technology.
That's it. I mean, I think that you've hit the nail on the head. But the places like Pixpa, Squarespace, and those type of, I say, new generation website builders, they're effectively made for people that don't, you know, coding and, you know, all the ins and outs and gubbins of website building. It's a lot more kind of, you know, simplistic, but that's fine. They can still look really, really pretty. And we'll make sure we put all the links to your websites kind of in the descriptions of this podcast where everyone's listening to, so they can actually have a look at, you know, how you can do it. And as you say, if you're a bit of a I say technophobe in that sense, only in like website building terms. Sorry, I don't do any derogative there, but basically if you're kind of new to it all, it just shows how easy it can be and how you can create a really, really beautiful and professional looking website itself.
Yeah, they gave great support so that really helped. It was just a good stimulus for me during the time, when people were locked down. It was just great, really good.
I mean, in that respects, kind of in terms of like building a business, but, you know, how have you found the first few steps? You know, I mean, have you enjoyed it? Because I know obviously the idea of creating a business and setting it up, you know, it may seem a little bit laborious at first and you've got to do tasks that maybe aren't as enjoyable as the photography. But, you know, what have you kind of found from it? You know, how did you find the whole experience to begin with?
I've actually really enjoyed it so far. I mean, I've set up businesses before. So the accounting side and all that side of things was fine for me. And I've just used what I currently have. So luckily that's already done for me. Although that might be a consideration for somebody who hasn't ever set up a business, because the accounting side is got to be right. But I have actually really, really enjoyed. I mean, I've not really been on social media a lot, and so that's been a big learning curve. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been great, and picking the right photographs to go on, and and writing stuff. I do like writing stuff, so you know, writing that's stuff has been great. Really, really enjoyed it.
It's a good point, because as we are photographers, we're not normally the most we're not kind of suited necessarily to kind of writing things, you know, literature, etc. as well. Everything we do is in a visual language, so actually having to sit down and, you know, like write your own bio, you know, write kind of, you know, about your services, and even if you start a blog, etc., it is quite an interesting task. And it leads me on to I was going to ask you about kind of what you found tricky, or, you know, things that you didn't anticipate in a way. I know you've talked about social media, about kind of having to grips with that, and obviously going on a dedicated Instagram course, I think is a brilliant idea, because it gives you a simple kind of platform to understand, you know, that one area and how you can make the most of it. But were there any other kind of particular areas that you'd not thought about? And even though you've set up businesses before, but more photography based, let's say. Yeah, anything you found tricky?
No, not so far. I did wonder what I should specialize in, and that was quite tricky. But there are so many photographers out there that seem to do portraits and weddings and families and things like that. I mainly concentrated on the pet angle. But it took me a while to funnel that down and decide on that. But I haven't really yet found anything tricky. I mean, I'm just starting now to roll. The only thing maybe that is difficult is the time I have to put in to write all the Instagram things, to write a Facebook, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I'm constantly on a screen, and I found that a bit tricky.
Yeah, in fairness, you know, it's not something you kind of, you know, I wouldn't expected you to have gone through, really, because if we could create like a pie chart, let's say, of, you know, a photographer's life or the day in a life, the actual amount of photography that you do is very, very small in comparison to, like you said,
I've not been doing that much photography. That's really annoying.
Well, that's it. And I think that's how some people can end up getting turned off. You know, they start the idea of a business and maybe it goes well for a couple of months, or they set it up and everything looks pretty, but then to keep it going, that's like the harder thing, really. I think, I suppose, for any business, not just for a photography one, but, you know, you've got the base all set, but then, as you say, going back, doing all your social media posts.
But keep thinking of ideas to write about, and, you know, they say, do engaging content.
That's it, but the line kind of stops there. It's like, do engaging content, but then no one necessarily explains what is engaging content.
What do I do?
I could talk to you for hours as to what kind of engagement can mean, but it ultimately depends upon your audience to a large degree, also kind of what you like, because you've got to be putting out things that really appeals to you, that you like talking about, you like taking photographs of, etc. It is a bit of a minefield, really, because you're appealing to an audience, and until you know what your audience likes, you're like shooting in the the dark a little bit, really. But I
mean, it's true, because in the course and everything, they try to say, give a bit of yourself, you know, put yourself out there. And that's what people were like. But I find that a bit difficult because I'm more reticent than that, and I don't like putting myself out there. But slowly but surely, I'm just trying to write a bit more about me and my dog and things like that. And it's just, you know, I'm slowly letting go, but it's taking some time.
it's hard, and I understand a lot of photographers prefer their images to be the forefront.
Yeah, definitely. Sells them.
But I think now, for such an interconnected world, especially like with the internet, that people like to know people. They like to know the stories behind them.
Yeah.
They want to know little bit more about you. And as you say, you've got to be comfortable about, you know, sharing yourself, your story, and how much you share, and feel like you don't go over the top and you give too much away, and, you know, start to reveal things that are more personal than you need to. So
no, I know. I don't even have a personal account on Facebook or anything. It's all photography.
Yeah.
So giving myself up a bit is prying it out of me, but it's coming.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I was kind of, not say dead against it, but I was certainly would have preferred my images to kind of be at the forefront of things.
Definitely.
As opposed to me saying, you know, this is what I've done today, etc. and this is kind of where I go. Yeah, you don't feel like you're being stalked in a sense, like, but you just don't want necessarily to kind of get too much into the realm of giving everything away.
So. No, absolutely not. No.
But I mean, kind of going back a little bit to, yeah, I suppose, the origins of your kind of your business and your idea. I suppose, you know, you could always continue to kind of just be a photographer for the sake of leisure. But what was it that kind of inspired you to actually do it as a business? What do you feel kind of gives you, I suppose, a benefit? You know, where do you think the extras are coming from by having your photography as a business as opposed to just doing it as leisure, let's say?
I think it's a really good excuse to do more photography. I know I've just said I'm doing less, but I'm hoping to do more. I think it's also a bit focused. I mean, I love taking pictures of dogs and things, so I can be able to get my hands on more dogs and more to photograph. And I think that was it, really. And, you know, I've got to come back to say, just I had the time, and that's a major thing.
Yeah.
And it's not my... I'm only going to do it part-time, and it just fits in around everything else.
You just start to make yourself sound like Cruella de Vil then, saying you were looking forward to
getting my hands on some dogs.
I'm sure our tutor Rebecca would be exactly the same as well with you. So yeah, you could go into business together. She'd be quite happy.
Surrounded
by dogs to photograph.
Surrounded by dogs. That would be my dream.
That would be a good name for the business. Surrounded by dogs. Right. I mean, but I like you said, you know, this past 12 months, 14 months or so through COVID, etc., has been, you know, it's given a lot of people a lot of time to do things and practice things that, you know, they may have not have done previously. But looking towards a more kind of brighter future, so let's say 12 months down the line with your business, do you have kind of any expectations or goals about where you want to be, what you want to have achieved? Any, you know, even if the, you know, small milestones, let's say, or big things, do you set yourself any targets like that to aim for?
I haven't set any specific targets. What I think I would like to be, I mean, locally, is just to be known as a someone to go to for, you know, pet photography, perhaps. I don't want to, you know, go much further. I don't want to, you know, go all around the country or anything, but in the Northwest and tighter than that, around Manchester, something like that. Yeah. I just like to be known as, you know, a reputable person to go to and somebody who's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the main key that people look for, you know, in a very uncertain time, let's say, but also when you've got potentially, you know, a lot of photographers, you know, in a region, because obviously with you being in Manchester, not far from Sheffield and Leeds and Liverpool, the big urban areas and where you find a lot of photographers kind of based in the city. So it is important to, you know, help yourself stand out, but finding a niche. And I think with what you've got with your, you know, focused pet photography is really good, because you find, well, at least I've seen a lot of pet photographers who will then diverse into doing kind of portraits with people, and that may lead on to weddings, etc. So it kind of dilutes the pot a little bit in one way. But I think if you can kind of hone in and focus on a very specific niche, like, you know, dogs or cats or, you know, domestic pets, then you can practice that all the time. And then that's what you get known for, as you say, and you become the pet lady, let's say, the pet photographer, because there's a photographer that's not far from where we are here. In iPhotography, and she was a fantastic portrait photographer and still is, but she has seemingly over the past maybe 6-12 months diversed a little bit into equine photography, and that's pretty much all she does. I mean, sometimes she has kind of people with her horses, but it is literally 95% horses, and you know, in a quite a rural county as Cheshire is, there's very, very few people that do that, surprisingly. So yeah, she's captured like a little kind of niche market in there. And I think that could be really, really good for yourself, that, you know, is it just primarily dogs you're trying to lean towards, or would you, you know, happily accept cat, you know, commission?
Oh, I think I quite like to do cats, although they are a little bit more tricky than dogs. I focus on dogs because I've had dogs, I've been a dog walker and all the rest of it. And I'm very comfortable with dogs, but I'm quite happy to do other things, other pets as well. Mm-hmm. And I have, there are portraits on the website, and so I am happy to do those. But I just think with the explosion of puppies during lockdown, then that's the thing I want to aim for at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good thing to kind of, in the nicest word, nicest way to say it, exploit in a sense, because you're right, the amount of people that have been buying dogs and getting pets whilst they've been at home is absolutely phenomenal. I keep seeing it on the news. So yeah, to be able to then have, you know, a buzzing market to be able to capitalize on afterwards, because love to capture those memories, and they treat their animals in the same way as they do their children. And for some people who don't have children, they treat them exactly the same.
Absolutely. And I'm really comfortable with handling, you know, dogs. I've done it for many, many years as a business. So, you know, dogs are just, you know, second nature to what I do. So that's why I'm picking the dogs, really.
Yeah. And I think that's really important.
Make them go, you know, to do the cock of the head and whatever. So
how many pets do you have of your own, Nikki?
I've only got one. One doggy.
One doggy. Oh, what's the name?
Fern.
Fern.
He's down by my feet now.
They follow you everywhere, they do. I mean, in the office today, but if I had my dog here, I know literally he'd be kind of sat right underneath me. They never like to kind of venture far from you.
She's right under my feet.
Oh, bless. Is she got kind of quite comfortable with you kind of being at home all the time?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Very much so.
Would she be coming out on shoots with you as well? Would she be like a, you know, a second assistant?
She can do, although I tend to, you know, when she's around, I focus on her so much. So perhaps we'll see. Yeah. We'll see all of that one.
Maybe you could train her a little bit like Lassie to kind of maybe bring you over like new memory cards and things like that.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. It's all light.
I've seen people do that, jokingly aside as well, you know, strap like lights onto their animals as well, just to kind of get the right positions. It can be very bizarre, but I wouldn't necessarily condone it. But one question you probably may have heard on our podcast that we kind of ask regularly in our interviews is that it's like our time travel question. So it's a case that if you could take yourself back to, you know, when you kind of first started out in photography, you know, if there is one kind of golden nugget of information that you could give yourself, you know, your future self about, you know, what to expect, what to look forward to, the pitfalls of photography, etc. You know, is there one little piece of information that you think would have made your life a little bit easier, a little bit more enjoyable behind a camera?
Well, I was going to say tongue in cheek, but it isn't at all. I just wish I'd joined eye photography about 20 years ago. That would have made things a whole lot simpler.
If anyone's listening, we did not pay Nikki to say that.
Thank you. No, but I wish I had. Anyway, I don't even know it was going 20 years ago. But I think, I mean, I was ready for this question. And I think what I would say, relax and not get stressed about what you take and what it looks like.
Yeah.
So the more stressed I get, and if I don't get the right shot or the perfect shot, I used to get very uptight, and if people didn't like it, it was, oh no, it's terrible. But now I'm just relaxed, and the more relaxed I am, the better I am at taking photographs.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say to people. Don't get so hung up on taking the perfect shot every time.
No, you're so right. And there is many kind of little nuggets of information, but I think that would always be one of my kind of, you know, top five to say to people that, yeah, just enjoy it. Even if, as yourself, you're running this as a business, and, you know, but it's not it's not the end of the world necessarily. Obviously, if it's your only source of income, then, you know, you've got
I'm lucky, so that's fine. But I'm lucky in that respect. I'm going to enjoy it rather than be stressed about it and stress what I produce.
And again, it's right, because the one thing it can have is not only a negative impact from you stepping away from it as a business, but then also potentially as a hobby, and you literally end up putting the camera down for good because you've got such a bad association.
I know, and that's absolutely great.
And I know, I hope you don't ever do that as well. But yeah, you're so right. If people don't enjoy it, if they stress too much, and if they focus on it so much as a business and not so much as kind of a pleasure activity as well, everything becomes, it has these negative connotations, and it just brings, you know, the whole vibe down, and you end up looking at a camera and going, oh no, I'm not going to do that anymore as well. I've had enough. So yeah, I think you're right. Just chill out and relax and enjoy it. Because I mean, everyone will have days where they pick up a camera and they go out and shoot. But, you know, I'm sure we'll also have times where we just go, you know what, I'm just going to leave it for today and not going to, you know, put my pressure to go out and shoot something amazing, really. But I mean, have you been out kind of much during lockdown doing bits and pieces with your photography, or has it been mostly at home?
I've been mostly at home and doing all, you know, all this setup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have not been out as much as I would have liked. So I did go on holiday a couple of weeks ago to Northumberland. So that was great. And instead of dogs, I ended up photographing sheep and lambs all the time, which was rather nice, a bit of a change. And they were very cute. So, yeah, that was good. Just to get out was good.
Well, I think that's more the point than anything, isn't it? It's just to experience new, well, not saying new surroundings, but different surroundings from
different
our own four walls.
Countryside, and it was great. Yeah, it was really
exactly,
good.
Exactly. But just before we wrap up, Nikki, obviously we want to make sure we get in all your kind of websites, Instagram handles, etc., so people know where to follow you, because obviously we'll put it in the description. But what's your website address?
It's very simple, www.nikkicameronphotography.com. .co.uk.
But yeah, so if we go to www.nikkicameronphotography.com, was that right?
.co.uk.
Sorry. And what is your handle on Instagram? Where can we find you there?
At Nikki Cameron Photography.
Brilliant. There we go. It could be easier. Superb. So if you want to check out some of Nikki's beautiful pet photography, and have you got some of your portraits and other work on there?
Yes, there's
some
portraits on as well.
Superb. So yeah, you can pretty much check out anything that Nikki's been kind of shooting over the past, how many years would we say? What kind of, is it a couple of years worth of images?
Yeah, say that. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So we'll make sure we put all the links in the description for that anyway as well. But Nikki, it's been lovely talking to you, and it's been really nice to kind of get a different perspective upon actually now turning photography into a business, because we've talked a lot on other podcasts about, you know, the meanings of photography and you know, how people have developed with their own style, etc. But it's nice to actually see it now kind of come into a business. So hopefully, you know, maybe, you know, 12 months down the line, maybe even a little bit less, we can kind of catch up again and actually see how we are.
Customer, that'd be great.
I'm sure you will have loads by then. But yeah, it'd be really, really nice to know kind of, you know, how, you know, did you achieve any of those goals that you were looking to kind of set, etc. as well. So I think it's nice to do like a little catch up on there, if that's okay.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Superb. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the iPhotography podcast. And again, if you're listening to this podcast and you've enjoyed listening to Nikki and hearing her stories, then just have a look through the descriptions and you'll find all the links that are relevant to her website. You can check her out for more. But from us and from Nikki, I just want to say thank you very much, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Okay, thank you.